this is Bill Quinn. Welcome back to the podcast. If you're listening for the very first time, the whole podcast is about some of the wonderful nonprofits and NGOs, particularly here in New York, but also we talk to people who do great work all over the world. And this week is going to be one of those situations where we talk to someone who's doing work all over the world. We're going to be talking with the co-founder of the Bloom Collective, Aaron Densham. So let's get to it. Here's my interview with Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Bill, hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
Not at all. Thanks for reaching out and for being open and having a chat.
So, yeah, to begin with, what was the issue that you saw that needed to be addressed?
For us, we sort of felt that, and I felt strongly, that there's sort of a big hole, a gaping hole in the education system at large, and there's this very strong focus on academia, and we sort of always felt like there was a whole realm, sort of whole world missing from education, which is being lost in society, and that sort of is, I guess, this realm of just exploring oneself and one's beliefs and values, dreams, passions, purpose. I guess the sort of realm of, like, I guess, self-education sort of thing, if that makes sense. And surely that is sort of a missing half to creating a holistic education.
So you're Australian, but you do this where you've been to Israel. What are some of the other places you've been to?
I mean, we're sort of really trying to get focused in, I'm trying to focus strongly on Melbourne next year as much as we can to bring these sort of programs to schools. But yeah, we've sort of been trying and testing, like, our educational approaches and all around the world. So I've sort of, I guess, a long time ago, I worked in Rwanda for a number of months, and this year, me and Michael, my work education partner at Bloom Collective, we were in India for 2 months working on a project just outside of Bangalore. He's now in Israel for working there at the moment, and I've been up in remote northern Australia working in indigenous communities. So we're sort of trying to just get out there and see how far our education approaches and beliefs sort of can carry.
How much of a transition is, or how much of a change do you have to make to adapt the program to a different place, to a completely different setting? Or do you have to? Do you think it's a kind of the instruction is sort of universal, and that this is a...
I mean, obviously, it's very different from place to place in terms of, I guess, the little cultural differences in exploring self and opening self and being vulnerable and all this sort of stuff in terms of from a student perspective. So, you know, you go to India and I guess there's a very different way of being Indian students than there are to Australian students and American students. So that shifts. And then also, I guess, from the educator point of view, how the educators, you know, how creative the educators in terms of their ability to bring that creative, open education to their students. So that's been a challenge as well. So our time in India was very much focused on facilitation training with the with a bunch of sort of Indian, I guess, young Indian village women, which we were working through another organisation with, and trying to give them the tools to be more engaging. You know, so much rote learning, Blackboard, and the same thing over and over again every single day in terms of approach to education. Even in a more dynamic, they're trying to do more dynamic things over there, but it's just, okay, let's have a welcome song. So the welcome song is the same welcome song every single day, you know, every single day. So we sent them, like, imagine if you came to our training and we said, okay, stand up and sing a song. And the next day we stand up and sing the same song. And said, like, how would you feel? Oh, it'd be very boring. Well, that's exactly what we're doing with the kids every single day. So how do you think they feel about that? And so, yeah, it was a lot to do with training to give them more tools to motivate their students and engage with their students over there. So that was the first point of call, I guess, for our work over there. So, yeah, to answer your question, it's super different from place to place and different communities and cultures at different levels. But I think in Australia and in America, we're sort of the place where we want to demand a little bit higher and more from our kids in terms of exploring, you know, these self-fulfilling pathways, if that makes sense.
What is one of your more memorable lessons that jumps out and says, that was a time that we really, one of my favorite moments in the classroom?
I think my favorite seminar that we ran at the school that I worked at for 3-4 years, really developing this approach, was a seminar we called Autonomy Seminar. Towards Autonomy Seminar. And it was basically 3 days away. We'd leave on a Thursday evening and we'd come back on a Sunday evening. And this is in the middle of the final year of sort of year 12 students. And it was called autonomy. And essentially, we just took them away and it was about running workshops essentially on the people that they want to be and the things that they want to do. Life post-school. And it's sort of the most powerful seminar I think we ever ran, and we ran it every year for our year 12s. And we'd start off with a pretty confronting session, sort of the Thursday evening, and we'd take kids through a real sort of deep, fun exploration, looking back at their school and then moving into somewhat, I guess, quite an emotional look into their own obituary, their own writing, you know, what it was to look back at their life and how they'd like to be remembered and who they'd like to be seen as by their loved ones, their friends, their families. It's quite a confronting thing for year 12s to do, and we set the space up as gently as possible and check with, you know, students before who's sensitive and who's, you know, had issues in that area, just to double check with them they'll be okay. And we run this sort of really intense program, and then we explore that. And basically the seminar from then on, we say to them, so if that's the point that you want to be at the end, I guess, of your high school, your life, sorry, how are you going to get there? And this seminar is about exploring that. How are we going to put those into place for you to be the best version of yourself, to be the best you, to live the life that you truly choose? And so we run a series of sessions throughout the next few days based on that, sort of around, you know, themes of happiness, of relationships, of pursuing your passion, looking at Plato's Cave. We do a crazy fun session based on Plato's Cave. So basically what we do is we blindfold out a bunch of students, we put them in groups, and we place them in these booths, these isolated booths, essentially, part of the program. And each of us, you know, dressed up as these agents, and we place them in these isolated booths, and they're inside these booths, and we basically say to them, okay, we need you to create this this object. So it's a little... Let's say, you know, we need to cut a specific A4 piece of paper in a specific way, and we say to them, okay, we need 30 of these, go. So off they go, and we hand them scissors and, you know, the materials required, and off they go. And each group gets, I guess, a different little shape and material, and they've just got to keep going. And we reward them with these just M&Ms each time. So they fulfill it, and we reward them with M&Ms, and, you know, we try and push it as long as we can. And the students, you know, at first, they're part of an activity, they're excited, and they're sort of, you know, creating these objects and sitting there and giggling away. And I guess after 20 minutes, 30 minutes, they're starting to get a little bit frustrated. You know, it's a bit boring, and but they're in these booths, and we said, so we can't leave, and we really need you to continue to create these objects. We really need them. We're sorry, you know, you just got to, we need 30 more, and keep rewarding them with these M&Ms. Eventually what we do is we sort of pull out one student who I guess is a student that we can trust, and we pull them outside the room into the daylight, and outside we're like pumping and playing this fun music, and there's food, and we have like a little dance party with these chosen members from each of these little groups. However, while we're out there, we also trash them with shaving cream. So they're completely trashed with shaving cream all over themselves. So they're having an absolute ball, but they're completely trashed and dirty. And we basically tell them, okay, you need to go back into your cave. You need to convince everyone to come out of their booths. You know, life is much better outside than inside these little booths. Tell them to come outside. However, what happens is they're trashed in shaving cream. And so they head back into these booths, and half the group don't want to come, especially the girls, because, you know, they're covered in shaving cream. And they're like, and we told them, you can't tell them what happens out there, just try and convince them to come. And, oh, it's so much better out there. Come, it's life's amazing, it's great. And no one wants to come. Eventually we break down all the booths, pull everyone out, and have this big shaving cream party and fight and have a great time. And then we come back and explain the allegory of the cave to them, you know, and how we replicated that throughout the session, and how did it feel being in there, and why didn't you come out, and then use that as a platform, I guess, to discuss life after school, and what does it mean to challenge and step outside the box of the life that's, you know, expected of you by your community, by your parents, by yourself, and how do they know, you know, what is out there without even trying it or exposing them to it. So I guess that's just a snapshot of a session we'd run, an autonomy seminar.
That's really cool. Actually, that sounds like a lot of fun. So do you have any future plans? Like, what are you visiting What countries do you have that you are planning on doing the program in soon or next?
Yeah, well, my big focus is in Melbourne next year. I think we just want to see if we can really sort of make some strides in one city in one place at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plan. I mean, our absolute dream is I'm trying to get a really strong team together at the moment. I mean, my ideal dream, I guess, long term is to create some sort of, I guess, degree or training where we have these kind of role model educators, which again sit side by side in schools dedicated to just helping kids explore themselves, giving them the tools and platform they can be their best selves. So putting these, I guess, young role models through it, I guess you could say that they're sort of, I guess, coaches in a way. They're sort of life coaches, and we give them the really pivotal 1 year, 2 year training and facilitation and well-being and mindfulness and in all these sort of different positive psych techniques and highly creative education techniques, and they're sort of put in schools and are there full time to work with kids as sort of, yeah, I guess, life coaches, life facilitators, self-education facilitators. So that's the plan. So next year, yeah, I'm really looking forward to, I guess, a bit of sitting still in Melbourne. A lot of moving around and building a good team and saying that to play with this, partnering with schools and saying to play with this idea.
What is something, if someone else has wants to do something similar, what is something you have learned that you could pass on?
I've been pretty happy with my trajectory, I think. I think maybe I would have listened to people around me a little bit more and learned from. I think I was pretty stubborn. We sort of strolled into a school at 22, 23 and started a department, and it was an absolute blessing. I don't know why they ever trusted us to give a free run. We had to run around the school and do crazy things, but it was an absolute dream. And I often tell people that I spent 4 years like making mistakes there. Which is wonderful. That's exactly how we learn. It's just you know, running a session and being completely inappropriate, so then fixing it, running it next time, and making mistakes and pissing people off. And but at the end of the day, you know, that's how we learn: failure and fixing and learning and failing and fixing and learning. And you know, so I guess get out there and do that. Don't be afraid to step in and be silly and make mistakes and fix them. But I think if I give myself a little bit of advice, I'd also listen a little bit more to the more elderly educators around me.
All right, that's it. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. Learn more about the Bloom Collective and Aaron Densham by visiting my website, which has links to their website, videos on YouTube, as well as their Facebook page. Also, a huge thank you to Babita Patel for connecting me with Aaron. The episode would not have happened if it wasn't not for her. And of course, again, a thank you to Aaron and the Bloom Collective for being so generous with their time and talking to me and answering all my questions. Well, if you liked that episode, I have good news. There's plenty more on my website, thebillquinnpodcast.blogspot.com. Plus, you can get notices about future episodes by following me on Twitter and liking my Facebook page. The Twitter account is @BQuinnPodcast. Also, you might work for an organization, run an organization, or know somebody who does work for an organization that would be a great fit for a future episode. Please get in touch. Email me at thebillquinnpodcast@gmail.com. I hope to hear from you. You were mentioning it. You weave.